Our next story had its beginnings in Colorado in 2014. Doctors there noticed a cluster of mysterious cases, children coming in with weak or paralyzed limbs. Then reports came in from across the country of kids complaining of the same symptoms. Doctors and researchers were mystified. Now, nearly 4 years later, there may be an answer. From member station KUNC in Greeley, Colorado, Ray Ellen Bichelle reports.
It was the fall of 2014 when Sarah Pilarowski noticed her daughter Lydia acting strange. The six-year-old was just getting better after a long fever, and she was finally getting to play the piano again.
I watched as she took her right hand and she put it on top of her left hand to make her left hand play some piano keys. And I was like, well, that's really strange. And I was like, Lydia, why are you doing that? And she's like, well, Mom, my hand isn't working right.
A few days later, Pilarowski noticed that her daughter couldn't eat an ear of corn. It kept falling out of her hands.
And then I started to panic because I realized that something was really wrong.
The Pilarowskis took Lydia to the hospital, where doctors took an MRI and tested her nerves. The word polio came up.
And it's a lot to wrap your brain around to be thinking that your child is essentially experiencing polio.
But was it polio? Doctors around the region were sending children with similar symptoms to the same Colorado hospital. A few even needed machines to help them breathe.
Right now, state health officials are investigating a rare type of illness known as AFM.
It's scary because it's random, fast, and virulent, and more children have now been stricken.
Suddenly, she was paralyzed. A polio-like disease, acute flaccid myelitis, had struck.
Dr. Kevin Messikar is a pediatric infectious disease specialist at Children's Hospital Colorado. He says that summer was mayhem.
Yeah, 2014 was a really unusual year.
So far, they found no connection in these cases.
Wheezing children flooded the hospital. Some had paralyzed faces or limbs. And the MRI images of the kids' spines
really didn't look like anything we had seen before.
They showed a stripe of inflammation all down their spinal cords, like West Nile virus or poliovirus. But neither of those viruses was the culprit. They looked for other viruses in the kids' spinal fluid. Again, nothing. So they took swabs of the kids' throats and noses. Bingo.
We were finding this newly circulating virus, enterovirus D68.
Enterovirus D68. But it still didn't make any sense. How can a virus that lives in a person's nose and throat get all the way into their spinal cord to cause nerve damage? And if it did do that, why wasn't it in the patient's spinal fluid anymore?
That was one of the mysteries. How does a respiratory virus lead to paralysis?
The next summer, there were just a few cases here and there. But then, another big cluster.
In 2016, that was really the clincher when we saw the virus circulating again from July to October and also saw these cases reappear.
About 150 more people, mostly kids, came in with partial paralysis across the U.S. By that time, people in other parts of the world were also starting to notice clusters of similar cases, from Japan to Argentina. For many of these patients and the patients from the original outbreak, that paralysis still hasn't gone away, and no one knows if it will.
It likely is a very rare complication of a fairly common infection.
To ferret out the connection between the virus and the strange symptoms, Messikar and his colleagues at the University of Colorado School of Medicine gave enterovirus D68 to mice. In repeated experiments, infected animals became partially paralyzed. The virus traveled to the spinal cord and then killed nerve cells there.
So we have a better understanding that this virus is likely causing an active infection in the spinal cord in the rare cases that it's causing paralysis.
Messikar and his colleagues published their findings in the journal The Lancet Infectious Diseases. But the question remains, how did the virus get to the spinal cord, and why doesn't it stay there? That question has some still hesitant to embrace Messikar's finding, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Still, Messikar and his colleagues feel almost certain this is the answer, and they plan to keep an eye out for a resurgence.
If it does come back, if it's in 2018 or if it's in 2022, we want to make sure that we understand it better and that we eventually can prevent it and treat it.
Meanwhile, Lydia Pilarowski is now 9 years old. Her left arm still doesn't work right. Her mom, Sarah, says Lydia can't do cartwheels or swing on the monkey bars very easily.
So a lot of the things that a 9-year-old girl in fourth grade would really love to be able to do with her friends out on the playground, she can't do, but there are so many things that she can do that she just focuses on those.
Like skiing, competitively, even with one weak arm. Someday, Lydia wants to go to the Olympics. For Here and Now, I'm Raelynn Bishel.
Raelynn's story comes to us from the Mountain West News Bureau.